now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said,
"Here I am."
And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said,
"Here I am, for you called me."
But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said,
"Here I am, for you called me."
Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said,
"Speak, for your servant is listening."
Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquities that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear on the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offerings forever." Samuel lay there till morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said,
"Here I am."
Eli said, "What was in that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he has told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was the trustworthy prophet of the Lord.
The word of the Lord for all God's people. I know that I have some childhood baggage from this word, listen. Because one never is quite sure whether the story you remember is actually the way it happened. But in my own mind, I remember my mother when she really wanted me to pay attention. as a younger child. She would face me directly and put her hands on my cheeks and say, "Listen, listen." She had my attention for sure. But however, in spite of directing me, in spite of that pretty firm word, I could listen, but I didn't really want to hear what she had to say or direct me to do. Yet sometimes I know that I need someone to take my cheeks and say, "Listen." This memory continues for me when I read this story of Samuel and Eli. Samuel, this young boy, I think about age of 12, had resided in the temple for most recent years of his life. He is not just your typical pre-adolescent. You may remember Eli from the story of Samuel's mother, Hannah. She was that beloved, favorite wife of Elkanah who had trouble conceiving a child. And Samuel was this child that his mother had longed for so long in order to be blessed. In the ancient world, as many of you know, to not be able to birth a child is a great cause for deep grief. And as Hannah had poured out her anguish, Eli actually thought that she was drunk. And in singing that prayer, she promised God that if she was given a son, she would offer him, the son, back to God's service. And that's she did. And that's why Eli was in the temple. That's why Samuel was in the temple with Eli. So this story of Samuel then does not start with this voice or with Eli's training, but rather with this mother who nursed him, who cooed over him, who prayed for him, who sang over him, who had weaned him from her breast so that he could be free to learn how to be present with God. And that is why we find young Samuel asleep there in the tabernacle in Shiloh, near the Holy of Holies, listening for his mentor's call. The storyteller, or the narrator, wants us to know that the word of the Lord is rare. It's a time of spiritual desolation, great religious corruption, political danger, and social upheaval. In other words, it's a very difficult time. The sons of the primary mentor, Eli, are corrupt, and the Philistines are about to threaten Israel's survival. We know about those hard times. We continually read of the corruption of leaders, countries threatening one another for dominance, comparing their capacity for nuclear weaponry. News of corruption permeates ongoing investigations. And many would say, the word of the Lord is rare in these days. The story is fascinating. Samuel is in the dark, sleeping next to the ark, which is known as the source, you see, of divine illumination. Three times God calls Samuel, and each time he runs to Eli, presuming that the old priest has summoned him. And when he comes that third time, the elderly priest perceives that God was indeed speaking. And he tells him exactly what to say. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Some of you might know that feeling. You know how it feels to be awakened from sleep. We can't help but admit that at any age, you would feel just a little irritable if you were repeatedly awakened by your child or grandchild who thought you were calling him. Eli comes across as remarkably patient with Samuel. And on the third time, he's finally awake enough to discern the possibility that maybe it is God who might be speaking to Samuel over there in the temple. James Duke writes of this tenderness of this story. Eli, roused from sleep and quite at a loss about the situation, is no mean and nasty faith-based ward keeper. He is kindly, and although a little slow on the uptake, he offers this boy some real counsel. He's tender in his persistence, and the tone is God's call to Samuel by name. This encounter with the Holy is remarkably quiet and so personal, though still powerfully compelling, and we find out later, not good news for Eli. Some of you have heard the story of Reverend Martin Luther King, who had dozed off in his bedroom around midnight when the phone rang, and the person on the other end of the line was filled with hate and obscenity, saying, "Listen, you fill in the blank, we've taken all we want from you, and before next week, you'll be sorry." And King hung up and walked to his kitchen to heat a pot of coffee. He had been receiving death threats for over a week, ever since he had accepted the request to lead the bus boycott in Montgomery. But he was certainly doubting that decision. As the threats poured in and his fears increased for his wife, Coretta, and their infant daughter, he now wondered, how could he relinquish this role as the boycott leader without appearing a coward? And then something happened that King would talk about for many years. He bowed over this untouched cup of coffee, and he prayed aloud in desperation. And King said that he heard this inner voice then that addressed him by name and encouraged him to continue on and stand up for justice. It was King's kitchen table prayer that encouraged him to move forward and to continue his leadership. It has been said that listening was the lifeline of Martin Luther King. It was a critical part of his prophetic witness. And King regularly took a day of silence to pray and to plan, to listen. And King was surrounded by people who continued to support and help him to hear and listen. Now, neither Samuel nor Eli were used to listening to the voice of God. It doesn't seem as though our writer would have believed that Samuel was intentionally ignoring the call, only that his lack of experience kept him from recognizing when it came. It took Eli's wisdom and time to convince them that both something was happening. And in speaking of their call, most people do not describe a major disruption in their lives. They speak of this quiet, slow awakening, kind of like Samuel. They often tell about a period of uncertainty regarding what they are being called to do or to be. I know for sure that God's call can be easy to ignore for a short or even a longer period of time, even for many years. But it is quietly insistent, and it never goes away fully. I wasn't going to be a pastor. I was a teacher, and I only wanted to go to seminary to learn. It's quietly insistent, and it never fully goes away. And it's not only heard in a voice, but it can come to us in other ways too. Through friends and circumstances, like Samuel, it is usually helpful to find, sooner or later, some wise persons who help us make sense of it all. Though no ordinary off-the-street person, Eli's role in Samuel's calling does remind us that how we learn to discern God's voice in proximity to the people who have come before us, they help attune our ears and our heart to hear from God. I wonder who those mentors might be for you. The ones who help you to listen. To listen for that voice that Howard Herman called the sound of the genuine that's in all of us. How do you prepare to hear it in order to respond? Who are those Elis in your life? You know, going to sit with a spiritual director has been life-giving to me over the years. I've had several different directors, and each is a little bit different. But each one has helped me to listen to those stirrings in my life. Sometimes we sit in silence, but often as I share some of my stories and reflections, sometimes dreams even, the director is often able to ask questions or share reflections that help me to see, to sort, and to listen, to help discern. The director points me to new learnings, and I am able to pay attention with more clarity, to listen, to hear God's voice in the midst of all the many voices. But it's not easy, and it's not always clear, but it's always a mystery. Often, more than not, that the voice of God is there. We often tell this Samuel story as a good message for listening to God's voice, but there's certainly more to the story. There's this particular message that God has for Samuel, and it's a word of judgment on the house of Eli. And it must have been a very hard word for this young boy to hear, let alone to share and to tell. But ultimately, that word offered a new beginning. It was a new possibility for the whole renewal of Israel. Today, I want you to reflect upon ways that you may have been led to hear God's voice. In the midst of your own life, perhaps what you would long to hear. We're going to sing this hymn, Lord, You Sometimes Speak in Wonders. I'd like you to turn to page 594. We'll sing four verses in the hymn, and note at the end of each verse, so just the first four verses, at the end of each verse, there is this pause of three measures before we move into the next verse. The music allows us to ponder the words that we have sung, to listen. Let us sing together. Thank you. I hope that prompts you to think about how you experienced God in your own life. And I also want you to imagine just how you are being invited to listen. Are there some close beside you that would help you to hear? I wanted to share this in groups, but because of time, maybe we will not today. But I want you to think about how God might be speaking to all of us here at Arlington Church of the Brethren on this first Sunday in June. Is God prompting us to listen, and to what might God want us to pay attention right now? The call is here today to follow, to listen to the one who has created us, the one who has searched us and knows us, the one who speaks to us in so many ways. The invitation is always extended to every one of us. Listen. Now may you go forth from this place as God's people, as listeners of God's word. Go in Christ's peace. Amen.